Hello everyone and welcome back to Going Purple with me, Lissy McIntosh, where we talk about serious F1 stuff in a not so serious way. Race week, you guys. I am here in Tokyo for the Formula E Tokyo E-Prix. It's literally the morning of the race and I need to leave for the track in about 27 minutes. Still in my pajamas. I've been editing this interview overnight basically because we filmed it last thing on Thursday and in a cafe in Tokyo, and I wanted to bring a driver in to try some traditional foods with me. And because I think one of the things we never really talk about in FE, or maybe we do, maybe I'm just like asleep, is just how cool the locations are that are raced in. And I want to say, like, some of the places I've been with FE in the last year have been amazing, and Tokyo is a new race as well, and it's my first time here, so it feels like a big celebration. I have absolutely loved my time in Tokyo. I have not slept. I slept 3 hours average for the last 3 days. The jet lag and just being wanting to see as much as Tokyo as I can, between the time I get to myself and work, and you guys know how it goes, but I have absolutely loved it. Everyone here, the culture is so filled with respect, but the city is so filled with beauty. And it was the perfect backdrop to speak to our guest today, who is Mitch Evans. Now, the reason I was so adamant to get this podcast out today is because Jaguar celebrates their, Jaguar TCS Racing, I should say, celebrates their 100th race in Formula E today. They have been in Formula E since the very start, as has their driver, Mitch Evans. Now, I spoke to Mitch for the first time in Mexico last year, and it was really nice to catch up. I love when I'm able to kind of really be or see the driver's progression over a certain period of time, you know, and having spoken to him at certain touch points over the last year, now he feels more ready than ever to win a championship. And what an exciting day to be able to celebrate your 100th race in a series. I went to the celebration last night for Jaguar, where, you know, the CEO or the founder of Formula E was saying, you know, they really, really took a chance on us and took a risk on us and built our credibility and totally trusted us and have stayed, you know, loyal ever since, really. And it's very exciting to see. So Mitch Evans scored their first pole, their first podium, their first win. So to get his thoughts on how the last 100 races have been and what comes next was really special. We also try some food, and we discover his hate of matcha. I love matcha. I am in my element, guys. I mean, as you will find out in the interview, I don't eat meat or fish. So the sushi and food angle in Tokyo, I feel like I've really missed out on. But the ramen, oh, I don't want to go home. But anyway, you guys, I have to run because otherwise I am going to miss qualifying today, which we do not want. And yes, so enjoy the race wherever you're going to watch it from. And I love you guys so much. We'll have a proper catch up soon. But for now, please welcome my guest, Mitch Evans. So, Mitch Evans.
Hello.
Hello. You've been following me around the world a bit, haven't you?
I've been following you.
Well, you did follow me all the way to Auckland, so.
Really?
Really? That was a bit of a.
I'm pretty sure that's where I'm from.
No. So, last year, we had a chat in Mexico. That was the first time that we, you know, properly like filmed an interview and everything. How has your life been since then? How has the last year been? What are the biggest updates in Mitch Evans' life?
I guess a fair bit. It's kind of hard just to like just rewind the clock.
Throw you in the deep end.
Yeah, rewind the clock 12 months. I mean, obviously on the racing side, lots happened. It's been good. We had like a really good end to the season. Actually had a bad start to the season, and then we kind of recovered it, and then went into the final few races, kind of in title hunt.
Down to the last race, no?
Yeah, unfortunately missed out on it, which really sucked, and we missed out on the teams by a few points. So yeah, it was still a really good season, but just I left there disappointed, to be honest. So. Obviously, that's like one of my main goals for this year, to try and change that. But honestly, apart from that, not a lot. My life's kind of boring.
Really? Who is Mitch away from the track? What does he do?
I'm a bit of a couch potato.
Really?
Yeah.
I wouldn't have expected that from you, to be honest.
I mean, I try and be active and stuff, but between races, I like just to like really disconnect.
Do you just like hibernate? Because I kind of do that as well.
Yeah, I like to sleep. I love my sleep. I love just watching this random stuff on TV.
You totally watch like Selling Sunset, don't you?
Selling Sunset?
Yeah.
I just finished The Perfect Match, which is, I'm actually not really into reality TV at all.
Have you ever watched an episode of Keeping Up with the Kardashians?
I've watched an episode for sure, but not recently. I love watching different sports, different random shows on Netflix.
Yeah.
Tipping Point. I actually love Tipping Point. You know Tipping Point?
No, I don't know what you're talking
English.
Couldn't
it's like
tell,
probably
yeah.
before or after Coronation Street, one of those
oh,
ones.
Oh, Coronation Street is, I'm surprised it's still going though. Every night there's an episode.
Yeah, yeah, but hats there's also an episode of Tipping Point every day. It's a game show and I love it.
Nice. So. Well, we are in Japan. We are in Tokyo for the Japan Ypres, and we have got some traditional foods to try. So we have four different dishes here. We have taco san wiener. Then we have karage.
Karage.
We have tomorokashi tempura.
Okay.
And we have aji fry, which I think is like a fried mackerel.
Okay.
So
there's a little tail hanging out.
Yeah. So yeah. The good news for you is that I don't eat meat.
Okay.
Or fish. So here are your wieners. You can try those out.
Honestly,
basically.
Sausage is my favorite. So, I can't wait to get into this. Actually, it was kind of when I did first see it, I was a bit scared. Like, it does look scary, but
they're kind of cute. They have little faces on them. I don't know if I'm supposed to eat into the mic. It's kind of ASMR, you know. I don't know.
Yeah, well, just I don't want to like. That out of the I don't want to like damage it.
Okay, are you ready? Cheers. Yeah.
Cheers.
Hmm, it's really good. That's like fried corn, basically.
That's good wiener.
I'm just going to let you sit with that one
and
for
I,
a second.
And I love the ketchup mayo combination.
Yeah, that's a classic.
Yeah.
So, you grew up in New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, traveling the world now. What were you like as a kid? I mean, New Zealand motor sports scene, obviously, very big. Did you grow up karting there? What do I need to know about Mitch as a kid to know what I need to know about you now?
In terms of my personality, I don't really know. It's probably best to ask my mum. I think I was a pretty good kid.
Yeah.
But I was like, I kind of knew what I wanted all the time. You know, I was quite to the point, I think.
Yeah.
But in terms of like, from a racing point of view, I started early.
Mm-hmm.
My father was racing and then I got into it. Actually, I have an older brother as well. He started before me.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you ever compete at the same time?
We did in cars.
Okay.
But in go-karts were always, because of the age difference.
Yep.
But I started driving his car like at 4 or 5.
Four?
Yeah.
Do you have any sense of fear when you're that young and you're driving something that goes fast?
I mean, a little bit, but then once you're used to it, all the fear, like, honestly goes out the window.
Really?
Yeah, it's pretty... And honestly, like, looking back, like, my dad's pretty nuts. Like, I was... I'm not the tallest of guys, and I'm sure at four, I was, like, not a tall or big four-year-old.
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't know
really
many tall 4-year-olds.
Yeah. But you know what I mean? Like, I think I was probably quite small. So to like put me in a go-kart at that age is nuts. But anyway, it helped. I think it's like any sport, if you get into it early, the earlier you get into it, the more you can kind of develop faster and become as good as possible.
And who were you looking up to at the time in New Zealand? Were you watching F1 races every weekend?
Yeah. So every year I was going to the Melbourne Grand Prix.
Ah, cool.
With my dad, with my brother, with friends. And would always sit at turn one on the inside in the grandstand. It was super cool.
You should go back. Incognito Mitch.
Yeah.
Activated.
Have you been to that race? It's amazing.
I haven't, but I really want to. Every year I want to go to Australia.
Yeah.
I think next year I can make it. It's just around the corner from me, so
yeah, it's down the road.
Just easy, yeah.
Yeah.
So you joined Effie straight after GP3. That's right.
GP2.
GP2. Sorry, GP2. My bad. Guilty.
Do your homework.
Sorry, no. I'm so sorry. So you joined the series when
I did do GP3, but just yeah.
Okay.
So you just missed out like 4 years of my career. you know,
it's fine. They weren't that important anyway.
No, they weren't actually.
Why did you joined the series so early in its first season, and you've stayed at Effie for so long? So, I mean, I have a million questions. Like, it must have changed so much. And obviously, you've gone through different cars. Driver changes used to be a thing of the past as well. Is there something that's just kept you drawn to Effie for so long?
Yeah, massively. Look, honestly, when I was in GP2 and Formula E was starting, I was a little bit skeptical.
Yeah.
Like, I think a lot of people...
To join a new series.
New technology. You know, electric mobility was something that was... I mean, it's still relatively new, but back then, like 2014-15, it was really, really fresh.
Wow, 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's mad, right?
Yeah.
But I had some drivers I raced against in GP3 and GP2, like Sam Bird, Antonio Felix da Costa.
Yeah.
And there was a really like good list of drivers already starting. So I kind of was like, okay, this looks interesting. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. And then when Jaguar phoned me up to, when I was coming back into motorsport, I was like, okay, this is my F1 kind of chance had disappeared.
Yeah.
And I was at a bit of a crossroad in my career. So I was like, I jumped at the opportunity. And honestly, since then, it's really taken off, the championship. And I've been with the same team.
Yeah.
And it's going to be my 100th race this weekend.
It is indeed. Congratulations on that. That's very exciting.
Yeah, yeah. Honestly, it's kind of gone really quick.
Yeah.
But when you start to like kind of think back through the seasons, yeah, it's a lot's happened. As a team, as a championship.
Yeah.
I've been, you know, I came in Gen 1, we had to do the car swap.
It's crazy.
And then Gen 2. Now, obviously, we're in the Gen 3 era, so...
And it's continuing on as well. Gen 3.5 is coming, right?
Yeah, next year we've got Gen 3.5 and then Gen 4 coming really, really quickly. So I've been through, like... Okay, I haven't been from the very start.
Yeah.
But I've kind of been through the evolution of the championship.
I guess that gives you a massive advantage as well, to have known it from the very beginning.
I don't know. I've not won a championship yet, so...
How do you feel about the championship this year?
I'm feeling good.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm feeling really good.
Good.
I've been in title contention since season 5.
There's something about season 10. It's just...
You
the
feel
energy,
it?
Yeah. No, I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll see if you're right.
I'm going to put a bet now.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll bet you one octopus wiener.
Really?
No, well, you've obviously had a lot of... You've been at the same team, as you mentioned. You've had a lot of different teammates.
Yes.
Sam Bird leaving last year, now Nick Cassidy. Yeah, so much Kiwi energy there.
Yeah.
In your jandals and all that. How are you two getting on?
Really good. Look, I've known Nick since I was 6.
Wow.
So we started go-karts at the same time. And we're
so you
rivals.
Went through like the teenage phase together as well.
Yeah, and you know what that's like. No, but we were racing against each other. We were like main rivals.
Yeah.
Like week in, week out for years.
Yeah.
And then we got into cars. I got in a little bit earlier than him. And then we were teammates in our kind of pinnacle championship, the Toyota Racing Series back home.
No way.
Yeah,
and now you're teammates again?
Yeah, that was 2011.
Okay.
And then we were like teammates for a couple of races in 2012. And now, yeah, then he came to Japan. I went to Europe. And now even when he came back into Formula E, it was really cool.
Yeah.
When he came into Formula E originally, it was quite cool a few years ago. But now his teammates is you know, driving for one of the biggest brands in the world.
Yeah.
It's pretty epic.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I want to ask you something about the legacy that you'll have being like one of the veterans, I suppose, in Formula E. What's the legacy that you want to leave in this series?
Oh, I've actually never thought about that.
Yeah.
Look, I obviously want to leave the sport whenever that is. Hopefully not for a long time.
Hopefully soon.
Yeah. Hopefully in like
next
10
week.
Years.
Okay.
Okay, that's all good. No, but honestly, I'm really passionate about this championship and also about Jaguar's vision going full electric next year.
Yeah.
And because I've kind of been part of the team since the start, I feel I've got like a really... big responsibility to play. I really got like I'm kind of the foundations of the team, and that comes like with a lot of privilege, a lot of pressure. But obviously, this championship is standing for more than just sport, right? It's got a bigger purpose. So I just want to keep, obviously, you know, educating people on the series, electric mobility, sustainability. Also educating myself.
Mm.
You know, I think we all can do better in our own worlds, and I'm definitely one of them.
Yeah.
And then from a competitive side, look, I want to win as many races and championships as possible and try and be one of the most, if not the most successful Formula E driver. Because obviously this is like a, this is a new era, and you know, hopefully this championship's around for decades.
Yeah.
So to be one of the founding members, let's say.
Founding fathers.
Yeah, that's quite cool. So yeah, and obviously like right now not many championships have got any road relevance. Formula E's got that. Formula One kind of used to be that. Other championships used to be that, where Formula E's kind of taking that place now.
Yeah.
So you feel like you kind of have an impact on the automotive industry as well. So yeah.
Especially with a brand like Jaguar.
Yeah. Yeah, so obviously cool. Jaguar's so invested in electric mobility.
Yeah.
You know, as I said, like next year they're going, you won't be able to buy or off the production line anyway. You know, combustion engine Jaguar, which is pretty wild.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Full electric from next year.
Well, what did you make of it then? Did you even eat
The karage. I love karage.
Oh,
chicken karage. This is good.
Okay, that's good.
I was going to offer you some, but probably not a good idea.
Yeah, it's actually hard, to be honest. I'm sure you find this too. Like, we were just talking about it earlier, traveling and eating.
Mm.
Sometimes I'm like, maybe I should just eat fish. I haven't eaten meat or fish for going on 9 years now.
Okay.
So I'm just like, if I do it, am I going to get really ill, you know? And maybe the track's not the place to experiment. Yeah, here I'm kind of like, should I just go for it, you know? Maybe.
You're not vegan, right? You're vegetarian.
I am vegetarian, yeah. Which I don't...
I'm sorry about that.
I feel like you're very positive.
Really?
Very positive person, yeah. Like, you have a good perspective over, like, the championship and, you know, the role that this job plays in your life and everything. How do you maintain that? I mean, you mentioned just now that you're still to win your first championship, which we know is coming. But how do you race after race, and especially when things are so close, like the season finale last year? Obviously, in the moment, you're just like, okay, I'll walk away, I'll come back next year. But is it really as easy as just saying that?
Not really. And I think in my position, like in season 7 was probably the hardest, because I was going into that last, well, I don't know if you watched back then, but I was going to the last race and my car didn't start, and I was in the best position to win the championship.
So that was the closest you got, season 7?
That was the closest I got. And then the next year I got second behind Stoff, but the points difference was a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
So I've gone into like every, like last weekend for quite a few seasons. And then it's like, okay, next year it's going to be it.
Yeah.
And it's just not come. So it does start to kind of, it's quite draining, to be honest.
To every year be like, next year.
Yeah. And then,
but I think mindsets like that pay off, you know.
Look, in sport, I think in life, you have to deal with adversity, and everyone deals it in different ways.
Yeah.
I don't know how much longer I can deal with it like this.
Yeah, I know, I understand.
And I think the fact last year, like, I had a really strong season, but two other guys equally had a really strong season, so it was kind of a little bit easier to swallow, because it was like, those guys just did a brilliant job as well, and I did my best. But at the start of the season, just really, really hurt me.
Yeah.
So, look, in sport, you have more bad days than good days. You kind of get used to it.
Yeah.
But those big moments in your career, which can be really defining, those are tough to take. But you just have to kind of dust yourself off. And
there's
back.
No other option, really, is there?
Yeah, that'll just crumble. Or stop and go do something else. And
sometimes you need the crumble, though. I find anyway.
Yeah, look, after the season, I was like last season.
Yeah.
I was in a slightly dark moment, like for a couple of weeks, while I was like still quite raw.
Yeah, absolutely.
But then you just, with time, things pick always yourself get easier. Up.
Yeah, time heals everything. Team. Let me tell you that.
Time does help.
Thank you. Wow, cute.
Thank you.
So this is a matcha sakura Mont Blanc.
Okay.
That's good, because I have a very big sweet tooth.
You are?
I'm more sweet than savory, to be honest.
Matcha.
Thank you.
Wow.
All right, well.
I'm not a massive sweet tooth, actually.
Oh, I am. I would rather eat only sweet food for the rest of my life.
Really?
Yeah, for sure.
I like sweets, like Haribo and all that. Like,
Whittaker's.
Are you like Whittaker's?
Love Whittaker's.
I've got loads in my place in,
do you
in Europe. Yeah, yeah.
Do you just source it? You just like bring a whole suitcase back with you?
They used to sponsor me, which was amazing.
No way.
Yeah, for like 2 years when I was in GP2.
Wow, lucky you. Cool.
But
Berry Biscuit.
It's the best chocolate in the world.
Yeah, hands down. I agree.
I rate it.
I wish everyone could try it, to be honest.
Yeah, I know.
Wait, so I just eat this like this? Should we have a look inside?
Yeah, we just get sucked
in. Oh yeah, that looks really good now. Good? I like it a lot.
So I just got some mayonnaise in my finger.
Go on, you can...
Sorry. I was going to lick it off, but I then it's going to mix up my...
Your palate, yeah, fair enough.
Margin, you know? Thank you.
And how are you feeling about this weekend here in Tokyo? New track?
Yeah, honestly, I'm super excited.
Done here. Your track walk already?
No.
Tomorrow?
No track walk.
Oh, really?
Yet, sorry, not today. We'll do it tomorrow in the morning. Okay. Early doors.
Nice.
I've had a bit of a mess here.
Oh, dear.
Tokyo. I'm just excited to be here. Hopefully the weather is kind to us.
Yeah.
The track looks really good. Like on the sim, it was challenging, like a really raw street track, which we all love. But yeah, honestly, I think formally is going to work really well here, I think.
Do you think?
Yeah, I mean, the fans are so passionate about motorsport. Yeah. And it's obviously in the heart of Tokyo.
Yeah.
It's the biggest city in the world.
Do you know that? Is it? Yeah. Biggest?
It's the biggest city in the world. Sorry, most populated city in the world. I would have liked to stay longer here, but we've got Misano coming up quickly, so I'm getting back.
So what's your biggest challenge, do you think, that you're facing at the moment?
I mean, personally, I feel like I'm in a pretty decent headspace.
Yeah.
I'm trying not to put too much pressure on this year, to be honest, because it's like, as I said before, it's like this year, or like next year, every time we finish the season, and it's just like... That was kind of mounting up a bit, but this year I'm kind of just going in like it'll be what will be, and just gotta kind of accept what's gonna happen.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that kind of helps things. Let's see at the end of the season. I think everyone's battling stuff all the time, personally, whether it's work stuff at home or just personally. And I've got like a coach that I speak to back in New Zealand,
really?
That helps me with all my racing stuff, also personal stuff.
Nice.
Because and I was never really into the mental side of things until maybe like 3-4 years ago.
Yeah.
I thought it was like kind of looking weak to seek help. I was a bit kind of old school thinking, but I think it's super powerful.
Yeah.
And
that's awesome.
Yeah, it was really important for me because I was going through a bit of a bad patch and. I went through a period, which not many people know, I actually had chronic fatigue for 4 years. After like my second year of GP2.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, I was like in quite a bad way for a few years. So I couldn't train much. And then I still train now, but not at the same level that I used to. I just find the mental game way, way more powerful now.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. I didn't know any of those things.
Yeah.
Well, Mitch, thank you very much
for
your time.
Thanks for the food.
You didn't like that.
No, I'm not a big fan.
Not a fan
but
of this.
I did try it because I want to be polite.
A plus for effort.
Not really my thing.
What's your favorite food in the world? Go on.
It's Japanese.
It is.
It is Japanese.
Thank you so much.
But thanks for having me.
Appreciate it.
Enjoy your weekend.
I will, and I won't leave before the race this time.
Okay.
Okay.
Good.
Deal.